This is episode 250 of the Q&A podcast. That's right, 250. My name is Anthony, and sitting right across from me via Zoom, as always, is my pal for the 250th time, DeQuincy.
Yeah. Well, it's more than 250 because we have a bunch of shows that never...
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, before we actually decided to put this out there, we had a bunch of, like 15, 20 shows that I'll never see the light of day. But yeah. This is our 250th official episode. It's crazy to think of because there's so many podcasts that don't even make it, you know, past their 10th episode. Here we are, 250 in. We haven't gotten sick of each other yet, folks. Maybe 2024, right. But not yet.
Good luck.
Yeah. You know, I'm be honest, a little peek behind the curtain. I do think about, man, at what point are we just going to be like done recording? Because we're both getting up there. I'll be 38 this year. You'll be what, 36?
Seven.
37? Yeah. So,
I don't know. I think when our schedules are just too much and we're just like, I can't commit to it.
Yeah. I think it's always, I always think when it stops being fun, that's the point where I'll be
like,
yeah, I don't know, dude. But I enjoy talking to you. This is still fun. We're still friends. Like, it's not going to be like Jesus and Mero where we just like, fuck that guy.
You know? Right, yeah.
We're still friends. We still like seeing each other.
That's the only way that this works. Mm-hmm. We're not the type of guys that, can work through hatred. It's like, nope, just gotta cut bait while we, you know.
Well, not for free. I can work around people I hate as long as getting paid a decent right. amount. But yeah, I don't think we could ever be one of those shows where like we're on camera, on air, whatever. We're all nice and bubbly, and as soon as I hit the stop button, they were like, "Fuck you, I'm out." Like, no, yeah. We actually talk to each other during the week. We're friends. We text. We'll be going to events. We're going to wrestling events
when Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. When Raw comes into town next month. So yeah, we actually
it's gonna be fun. It's been a while since we've gone to a wrestling show.
God, yeah, it's been forever. It was like, I think it was like Raw 1000.
Yeah, The Rock was there. The Rock was there for that one. What else was going on? They were building towards the match with Cena.
Mm-hmm.
The first match with Cena.
God, that's so long.
Yeah.
That's forever ago, man.
Yeah. And then
I remember Caitlyn wrestled.
Yep. That was huge because, you know, she's from Houston. And
yeah.
I think she had just won the title. Or she was like she was champion at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I heard she was never supposed to be champion or something like that.
Which is one of the things I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often, where oopsie daisy, something like someone gets hurt during the match, so they have to hurry up and pin them and change him. Like, I'm surprised more accidental wins haven't happened in the history of WWE.
Yeah, I think the last one was when Asuka beat Charlotte, when Charlotte blew her knee out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most recent one. That was just a couple of months ago. But there really hadn't, you really haven't heard about any other ones like that since.
Speaking of Charlotte, have you seen her pictures on social media?
Her recovery and stuff?
Yeah, she looks like she's ready. She's getting ready to come back at WrestleMania. Like,
it's crazy.
What are they giving you, girl? Getting all the good HGH.
She went to Aaron Rodgers' stop.
Yeah. Ah, so good times. Before we get into our main topic tonight, I want to talk about the end of the football season, Super Bowl. Congratulations, Kansas City Chiefs, winning what's their third title, I think.
Third in 5 years, I believe. Yeah.
over the San Francisco 49ers. What did you think about the game, man?
Man, I
fell asleep?
No, no, not this time. No, this wasn't Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake
Yeah.
Super Bowl halftime show,
Oh,
which
no.
I did fall asleep through when I was a kid, right before it started. I woke up, I think in the fourth quarter, the game ends, and then I go to bed, and then I go to school the next day, and everyone is talking about what happened during the halftime show. And I said, wait, what happened?
You're just like, you're looking around confused, like, huh? What?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do remember that. Like, I had to play it off as well, you know, because you don't want to be that guy that missed it.
Back in ye olden days,
Right.
there was like no way for you to see that. What was that,
There was no,
2004?
yeah, there was definitely no Twitter for that, like, you know, to like watch the repeat or whatever, you know.
I don't know. YouTube wasn't around. No one on the news was showing like the entire clip or anything.
Of course,
So
no.
you were just good. You missed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like just watching football game. Oh Lord, a titty! What's going on?
Especially at that age.
Yeah,
I mean, those are formative years.
Thank you for saying that in a polite way. I was gonna say, yeah, those are the prime jacking off years.
Oh boy. This is why this works after all these years. The game itself, so like the first half,
stink.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty boring. Like, you know, it's hard to, I don't want to knock on two defenses doing what they're supposed to do. But it just wasn't very exciting for the Super Bowl. And then the second half starts. I guess everybody watched Usher and got motivated or something. But it was an exciting second half for sure. Even with all the defense, like there, it was still a primarily defensive game, but it was still exciting. And it was still, I came down to the wire, went to overtime. You know, it wound up being a really good game and one of my favorite games that I've seen. One of my favorite Super Bowls that I've seen in you know, that I can remember, you know, in recent memory.
Yeah, I agree. Everything changed after the halftime show. The second half was so much better. The first half was a snooze fest. More interested in seeing what commercials were being played than what was actually happening on the field.
Right.
And you say it was defensive. I say it was sloppy. There was a couple of fumbles, drop passes, bad
Definitely.
Passes. It was that first half. Well, damn near set the game back 10 years. But yeah, the second half, it was much cleaner, much better. I say congratulations to the Chiefs. I brought up commercials a minute ago. Were there any commercials that you watched that actually stuck with you?
The Temu commercial was terrifying.
Temu is a scam, okay? There's too many stories of them stealing people's credit card information. So they stole y'all card information to buy a Super Bowl commercial. So congratulations.
Right. Like, you know, it was like this foreign company, which I think they're based in China, I believe.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna Google that because I think you may be right.
I'm pretty sure that's where they're based out of. But like, their Super Bowl commercial was an animated commercial that was like, it was very, you know, dumbed down for an American audience, like in a very noticeable way, in my opinion.
Well, you're
where
right.
it's like,
They are a Chinese company.
Okay. It was very like, oh, this is a very, very nice and great website you should shop from.
Yeah. Okay.
And you'll save a lot of money and the world is going to be great. And it's just like, I'm watching this commercial and, you know, I'm just like horrified. Like this is scary. Cause I saw it right away. Like they're clearly talking down to the audience. Like these dumb Americans will
well, we are
spend
dumb.
all of their money at this website.
So when I Google Temu and, you know, the stories pop up, the website, one of the places is a ZDNet article.
Yeah.
And it's like, is Temu legit? And the first two sentences of the origin, the first two sentences of the article is Temu a legitimate website? It depends on your definition of legitimate. Already, we're off to the a wrong start. I feel like there's only one definition of legitimate. It's called the Bill Clinton defense. What's your definition of is? All right, we're done here. I can see the jig.
Yeah, that commercial, I don't know, it just was unsettling at that time. At least the one time that I saw it. Maybe I'll go back and watch it again and, be like, ah, it wasn't so bad.
I think the only commercial that stuck with me was the Deadpool Wolverine commercial.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was awesome to see.
And here's the problem I have with that commercial. It's not the trailer. The trailer was great. My problem was the commercial they had during the Super Bowl was like, go to YouTube to watch the rest of the trailer. I was like, you cheap bastards. You don't want to pay the $10 million it would cost to pay your ad to play your ad throughout the Super Bowl. So you just paid like $2 million for a 30-second commercial and then told everybody, go to YouTube, where it's free for us to go watch the rest of it. Come on, Disney, you got more money than God. Don't be cheap.
Yeah, that's how the rich stay rich, though. It's more than 2 million for a 30-second ad, isn't it? Like 7 million?
Oh yeah, you're probably right. I
And
was just
so a trailer is what, 2.5 minutes? You're running up to almost, $20 million.
they got it.
They do. That's very true. But just because you got it doesn't mean you want to spend it. All in one place, at least. I don't know. No, the trailer was, or the teaser was awesome. The teaser for Monkey Man, I thought was pretty good.
Yes.
I was very interested. I had no idea what was going on, like that this was like this is that this is coming out, and I was very interested by that. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna keep that on the radar now, because that trailer looked action packed. It looked really good.
Yes. Apparently, it was originally supposed to come out on, I think, Netflix, either Netflix or Apple, one of the streaming services. And like Jordan Peele saw it and was like, "Hold on, we could make some money off of this."
This it, and it had the feel of like a it felt like a Super Bowl worthy type of trailer, like, okay, this is something you do play in the, during the Super Bowl, because it yeah because the potential to make some money is there.
You remember any other commercials off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. What about you?
No, that's why I was asking, because I don't even remember like a Doritos commercial or anything like that.
No, yeah, this definitely was the year of I feel like all the major players kind of stepped aside this year, more so than most. Or they weren't as prominent, because I do remember the Bud Light had a commercial
I think,
that
yeah, with the
like
Clydesdales, like going through a store a snowstorm.
well they had a different they also another one where like Peyton Manning came out,
Oh,
Dana
the
White, it was like a
Bud Light
party or
Genie,
something.
the Bud Light Genie.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. That's a Oh, one other commercial I remember is the commercial for the Reese's Caramel Cups. I know this commercial because they're all gone at my store now. Over here at Randall's, they were buy two, get two free, and I was making out like a bandit because those things are
Oh, man.
delicious. I go to Randall's like the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, clean out. Everybody was like, damn. It's like, I feel like you do whenever one of your bands go famous, like, damn, everyone knows now. I'm like, damn.
I'll tell you. So yeah, this year was like this year I think it was kind of it was the year for like the new players, I feel like Temu,
Timu.
companies that are really trying to break through this year.
Oh, and I just thought about something. Like, I don't think we didn't see that many movie trailers because they're still recovering from the strike.
Right.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything for like Doritos, M&M's.
Yeah, the I know I think like DoorDash had a commercial or something like that.
Probably
It
DoorDash,
really felt
Uber
like,
Eats.
the newer companies were trying to, really break through, and the big players were kind of taking a, a step back this year, like, the the asking price for these commercials goes up every year. And I feel like, you know, if you're a Budweiser, a Bud Light, or a Doritos, you don't necessarily have to do it, you know, anymore. Like, everybody knows who you are. And if it just, if you feel like it's just not worth the expense,
Oh, I get
that's
it.
okay. Yeah, let someone
All right.
else do it.
All right. I pulled up USA Today ranking the best commercials, seeing which one I remember. Okay. The State Farm, Like a Good Neighbor, the one with Arnold
Yeah.
Schwarzenegger, the Dunkin' Donuts with
Right, the
Ben
all the
Affleck,
Boston
and
guys.
yeah, I missed that one. Kia, the Perfect 10. Uber Eats, the remembering commercial. Let's see.
The NFL commercial. Man, let me tell you this. Justin Jefferson was made to play football and be a spokesman for the NFL. That guy has it.
I don't know what it is, but he's got it.
100%. Because he's really good in that NFL Born to Play commercial. He's hilarious in that Little Caesars commercial
Yeah.
where he meets there, he switches
With the
roles with the
kid.
kid.
Yeah.
Like, he is comfortable in front of the camera.
Let's see what the Christopher Walken BMW commercial.
I missed it. Dang.
Same here. Oh, I forgot about the Beyonce commercial. The one with
Yeah.
Verizon trying to break the internet. And then she comes. I was sitting here watching the game with my girlfriend, and she's watching the commercial. And at the end of the commercial, Beyonce says, "Okay, release the new music." And she turns and looks at me and says, "No, that bitch didn't. I knew that bitch was up to something. She's sneaky, sneaky." And I'm like, I'm not calling Beyonce that word. You can't. But she's like, "I knew she's not something." And then, like, I think an hour later, the first two. Not even that long, maybe like 30 minutes later, the first two songs from her upcoming country album drop.
Oh,
Which I'm like, right, we're about to hit Cavernous Boot City, baby. Heel toe and do-si-do. Let's see. Oh, there
there
wasn't.
was the Wicked trailer.
There was a Doritos trailer, but it was for their
There's,
Dinamitos, their.
yeah, that was a fun one. CeraVe, they had a good. They had a good spot this year with Michael Cera.
Yeah. I like the Paramount Plus commercial where Patrick
Yeah.
Stewart is throwing Arnold short man over a mountain, or at
Right.
least trying to.
T-Mobile, Zach Braff and
Jason Momoa.
Donald
I almost said Donald Glover.
I almost
Donald,
said
shit. Is Donald
Faison?
Faison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I missed the mullets commercial. I heard about it, so I did go back and watch it.
Yeah. You see that number 23, the bane of my existence, that Reese's commercial. Oh, I just
Right.
messed up my economy. You know what? I'll take this back. It looks like the big corporations did have commercials. They're just not memorable at all.
Right, they, you know, the what was it? The Beyonce one, the Uber Eats, and I guess the Dunkin' probably had the biggest stars, like current stars, with like Jennifer Aniston and J-Lo was in the Dunkin' commercial as well.
It's crazy how I don't remember any of these commercials, and I sat in front of the TV for the entire game.
Yeah. No, that's what I felt like. This year was definitely not, you know, the commercials were there. It just wasn't, they just,
Weren't
they didn't really
memorable.
hit this year. That mean, I tell you, you know, you did the, you went and got as many Reese's caramel cups as you could this year. I think it was 2 years ago. I was shocked to see Irish Spring pony up the money for a Super Bowl ad. I had no idea they were still in business. Like, and then they just did this commercial out of nowhere. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna buy some Irish Spring the next day. And I, sure enough, man, went and bought me a box of six bars or whatever, three bars, and I haven't looked back since. I'm an Irish Spring guy again.
They saved up that Super Bowl ad money for like 5 years.
They really
And
did.
like, we got at least one satisfied customer, one new customer. So she, it worked for them. The only thing I have left to say about Super Bowl was the halftime show. Loved it. My only problem with the halftime show was Usher be out there and getting into a song, and I'd be like, yeah, this is my jam. And then he changed to another damn song. I'd be like, damn, I was just feeling that one. But he changed it to another song. I'm like, this is my jam too.
Right. He just gave you a taste
Yeah.
of all of them. But that is, that is a Super Bowl halftime show for you. I mean, they're only allotted a certain amount of time. That's what the medleys are for. And he reminded you of all those hits. So you'll go and catch him in full on his world tour that he's embarking on this year.
Yes, although we had to bully him into putting a Houston date.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when originally it came out, I think the closest place here was either Dallas or Austin, and then eventually they added more tour stops, and Houston got put on. Like, damn, Atlanta can get six shows, Houston can't get one. What's up with this?
Well, he's from Atlanta, isn't he?
Yeah, but still, goddamn. We love you too down here, man.
No, I would say that. I would say, wait. Dallas gets a show, but Houston doesn't? Like,
Yeah.
I won't besmirch him, like, or begrudge him for having six shows in Atlanta. Like, that's his home. That's the hometown, tour. I get it.
We can't get one. We had to
But.
bully you and berate you to get one. Man. But yeah.
It's the fourth largest city in the country.
We do all the music down here, baby. Hip hop, rap, country, everything gets done down in Houston. Urshel, we had to, but you know what? I'm glad they just they added the tour date. I gotta see if I can actually afford tickets to go. Ticketmaster trying to rake you people over the coals. Not trying to, they do rake us all over the coals. I swear to
Oh,
God, if Joe Biden came out tomorrow and said, "Ticketmaster, you're done," he would landslide reelection.
yeah. I believe you're right.
Just drop legislation that took Ticketmaster out the paint. He'd win all 50 states. It'd be 538-0.
He really unite the entire country.
And we would finally come together as a people. We'd get Ticketmaster up out of here. All right, so that was Super Bowl halftime show. Goodbye, football. We shall miss you for the next 6, 7 months. But as one sport ends, another one
Unless we watch
begins.
the
When one sport ends, another one begins.
USFL. I was going to say, we won't be watching the USFL.
Baseball's back up. Pitchers and catchers reported what last week. We got full squad showing up this week. I think Bregman showed up to camp today. So, we're getting into swing of things. Before you know it, it'll be opening day. For some teams, opening day start in Korea. But we.
A lot of the team got a head start this year with the was it that Travis Scott event, that
Oh,
softball
the Cactus Jack softball. Oh yeah.
event.
Yeah, we got a couple of Houston Astro players there, local celebrities, good old time. CJ Stroud hitting bombs.
I can do it all.
Yeah, can do it all. So let's talk a little, we'll talk baseball. Next couple weeks, we're gonna be doing our division by division breakdown. And at the end of every league, we'll give our picks for division winners, wild card winners, MVPs, and Cy Youngs that you can ignore, because I that Alex Manoa pick, I'll never live that down.
Woo. It's one of those times where it's bad that the internet exists and remembers everything.
Find the episode, just delete. But this week we're starting with the National League Central. For one reason only, I wanted to get the Central out of the way first because both of them are bad. So we're gonna start with we're gonna go reverse order of every team's projected Pakoda 2024 wins. So the team with the worst one in the Central is the Pittsburgh Pirates. So I had like a week to do all this work and studying for his division. Of course, I did it like 2 hours before we jumped on the mic because that's just who I am. Pittsburgh Pirates 2023 season, they finished 76 and 86, missed the playoffs, did not finish in last place in this division. They were what, fourth? Yeah, fourth
Yes.
ahead of the Cardinals. I was looking through their offseason moves, seeing what they've done so far. They re-signed DH Andrew McCutchen, 1 year, $5 million. Signed relief pitcher Adrolis Chapman, 1 year, $10.5 million. Also signed starting pitcher Martin Perez, 1 year, $8 million. And that's about it. That's all the Pittsburgh Pirates have done. And scroll down, look at this team with me. I'm also gonna be thinking like, you know how every year every team comes out with a tagline for their opening for their season.
Yeah.
We gotta think of taglines for all these teams.
Pittsburgh Pirates. It's 2024.
Pittsburgh Pirates, you know what you're getting. There's just nothing interesting about the Pirates. They have a few good players. I know Cruz, Brian Reynolds. Congratulations on getting that guy to sign a long-term deal. He Brian Cabrian Hayes, Andrew McCutchen back being the old man in the locker room, and I liked some Mitch Keller, their quote-unquote ace for this team. But there's just nothing there besides. Bunch of,
Cruz.
huh?
Cruz and Reynolds, that's about it, man.
Yeah, I was trying to say a nice way to say trash, but there's just nothing there. Like, they're gonna need someone to step up and be elite on this team, and I just don't see it. Like, Cruz is coming back from the injury. Brian
Is he?
Reynolds,
He is gonna be healthy. Okay.
yeah.
He broke his leg, right? Sliding home,
Was
I
it his
believe.
leg or his foot? I don't remember. But yeah, he broke something sliding to home last year. Brian Reynolds, he's a good player. Like, I remember last year, all the trade rumors that was around him, like, oh, will he get traded to the Yankees? Who's going to get him? And then the Pirates came out and signed him to a long-term deal. Let's see. I'm looking at Cruz. Ankle. He broke his ankle last year, left ankle.
Yeah, I remember that play.
And Ke'Bryan Hayes, like I like the guy. He's still young, only 27. So they have like a good top of the order. And after that, it's like good luck.
Yeah.
There's just nothing here. And I don't understand why people even go to these games anymore. Unless you're just that starved for baseball. Like, you have to love baseball more than you love your own family to go to a Pittsburgh park. To be sitting out there in PNC Park, it's a beautiful park, like one of the best parks in baseball. But to sit and watch this team and actually give a damn about this team day in and day out when they're not making any moves trying to get better, it's just disheartening, man.
Yeah, and it's like, why would you go and sign Aroldis Chapman? Like,
Oh, I know what that is. That's blatant trade bait. Ugh. You just hope that he's good enough And he pitches well enough that by the time the trade deadline comes along, you can shift him out for a prospect or two.
Okay. Sneaky move, Pittsburgh.
My count of that is like, if I can figure that out, then other teams figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, so Pittsburgh, you hope he has a good year so you can trade him for something better. At the worst, he's trash and you just have to release him during the year, but it's only a 1-year deal, so it's not going to hurt you long term.
Man, and like their starting rotation isn't it's not very good either, man. I mean, two guys have been around for a long time in Martin Perez and Marco Gonzalez.
Ooh, as an Astro fan, I'm glad Martin Perez is out of the American League. Get him away. That dude could have an ERA above 12. He'll pitch against the Astros and throw a 2-hit shutout every time.
Right. But, man, I mean, these guys are, you know, past their prime or just getting past their prime, I guess, at this point.
Definitely Perez and Marco Gonzalez.
Yeah, you know, they could be, I guess, innings eaters or these could be trade bait guys as well. You know, if they have a solid first half. But, man, I mean, you're just not going to win a division or many games. Not, you know, forget a division. You're not going to win many games with this rotation, with this lineup.
No one in that rotation had an ERA under 4 last year.
And they're not projected to this year either.
They're a bad team in a terrible division. Like, what would have to go right for the Pirates to win the Central?
Oh, man. Mitch Keller would have to be a Cy Young candidate. O'Neill Cruz would have to play like an MVP candidate. And Brian Reynolds and Hayes would have to be all-stars.
And the other four teams will have to come down with debilitating cases of cholera.
Yeah. To put it lightly.
Like, this team has players I like, but no one like I'm in love with. You understand? Mm-hmm. You know?
No one that I would say, man, I wish they were on, wish they were on my team.
Mm-hmm. And this is a problem with deciding that you're only going to build through the draft. You're not going to spend any money in free agency unless it's for the cheap. You don't get superstars in this team. Like, you're not going to pay good money to go out and get someone like, let's say, Juan Soto next year or Cody Bellinger this year. Like, the Pittsburgh Pirates, their payroll right now, the estimated payroll for 2024 is $81 million. Yeah. And actually, that's just for on the team. Once you throw in like the salaries for minor leaguers, the money that goes into the pre-arbitration pool, everything like that, it shows their estimated luxury tax payroll will be $106 million. That means they're $131 million underneath the luxury tax. Do we get like a salary floor in the MLB? You think that ever happens, or do the owners just fight that tooth and nail?
I mean, I think if you're a team that doesn't that never spends, and you've always been that way, I don't think you want to change. I don't think you're looking to change that anytime soon, or else you would have done it on your own volition.
Yeah, they're definitely like they've done this so many times over the years. There was a brief period in the 2010s where they were actually good. And they're good enough to win the division or get a wild card spot, make the playoffs, and get knocked out in the first round. That was it until everyone got old. They had to either sell them for parts or people just left because of lack of talent, and they're back here in the dredges of the league again.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is a problem with just society. We're only going to do everything through the draft because you have to hit your draft picks and you have to hit them over a long period of time consistently. Like, you can't be good two drafts in a row and then miss out on the next three. Because by the time you get things right again, those guys that you hit on the first 2 years, they're hitting arbitration. They're getting too expensive for you because you want to be cheap. So they'll be gone. And it's just a cycle of you being basically a minor league team for other major league teams.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, but that's what it is. So Pittsburgh Pirates, their over-under for the year is 73 wins.
Oh, man.
Feels like they got... They got it perfect, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to say under because I don't think at least one of the teams in this division is not going to be what they were last year. And I think that's going to make it more difficult for Pittsburgh to match their 76 game win total last year.
It's that pitching, man. Well, you have no one projected to have an ERA under 4. Not 3. I'm not asking you to be like a Cy Young candidate. I'm saying 4. No one under 4? You got problems.
And you don't have a lineup that is, you know, that's feared, that can keep you in every game that's that where your pitching staff is giving up 4 runs, where your starters are giving up 4 runs. It's not the best combination by any stretch.
So you're going under 73 wins. I'm with you. I'm going under. Even if something goes right, they're the team like, oh, we have this one player who's playing above their head this year. Let's trade him away so we get a prospect that might be good 2 years down the road. You know, I just don't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to the next team in the division, the Cincinnati Reds. 2023, they finished 82-80, missed the playoffs. And they've done a lot during the offseason. They've at least been trying. So let's go through their losses real quick. They lost center fielder Harrison Barnes to the Mets, lost starting pitcher Hunter Renfroe to the Royals, lost Joey Votto to retirement, maybe. all news, I think the last thing I saw on Joey Votto was like he's still working out, trying to be prepared for a team to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone wants 40-year-old Joey Votto. Like, is anyone asked for that? Because his last year wasn't, you know, it didn't set the world on fire.
Maybe Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's like, oh, he wants how much? Better minimum. Ooh, oops. Ugh, I don't know if we can spare that right now.
It's going to be a little tight.
A little tight over here. What's all that money back there? Is that revenue sharing? No, it's not. Close the door. I don't know what you're talking about. Cincinnati Reds, let's talk about some of their what they've acquired. They signed third baseman / first baseman Jameer Candelario to a 3-year, $45 million deal. Also, the $18 million club option for 2027. And then assigned a pair of starting pitcher Nick Martinez, 2 years, $26 million, and Frankie Montas, 1 year, brace yourself, $16 million.
Jeez.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Frankie Montas even pitch last year? Because I don't think he did. I'm double checking right now. I don't think he pitched at all at it because he was hurt for the Yankees. Pitched
an inning and a third in 2023.
And they gave him $16 million. Do you see why Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery aren't signed yet? They're like, if he can get 16.
Right.
He gets 16. I'm worth at least 30. Come on now.
Jesus, they could have gotten either one of those guys for 16.
Look at their payroll. It's like they this year $116 million. So if they want some money, they can give. They got the money. You know, the Reds were a nice surprise last year, you know, almost finishing 500. They have a lot of fun young guys.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Jonathan India is still on this team. I think Ellie De La Cruz, who might be the most excitable young player in the league right now.
I would agree with that. I think he's getting to that point where he could be one of those guys that you want to go play with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a young, fun team. They got a lot of 20-year-olds who's out here. Spencer Steer, or I mentioned India. Looks like their number one prospect. Now stick with me. I'm gonna say Noel V. Marte. Man, they got a lot of infielders. The Cruz, Marte, Candelario just signed. Jonathan India is going to be playing DH. And then on the bench, Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Mm-hmm.
Also an infielder. I can't wait to see what his name looks like on the back of one of these new jerseys. It's going to be a circle around the number.
Well, if anybody can handle it, I think it's the Reds, because I think they've had more than one Encarnacion on their team as long as I can remember.
Going to the pitching side, like Hunter Green, he's a guy I'm mesmerized by the fastball. You know, he had how many strikeouts he had? I believe he had over 200 strikeouts last year. Nope, wrong. 152 strikeouts, but only 112 innings pitched. You know, gets it up with triple digits. So I'm just like, wow, look at that power. Look at that. He should be like a Cy Young candidate. And last year, his ERA was 4.82. So
still giving up too many runs.
Yeah. Projected to be slightly better this year, 4.27. So. Yay. He's only 24. He's got time to grow and become a pitcher. He's more like a thrower. He relies on his fastball too much. All his secondary pitches aren't as good as they need to get over. Mm-hmm. But like I say, he's 24. He's got plenty of time. Let's see. What's your tagline for the Cincinnati Reds?
Cincinnati Reds 2024. Let's hope Ellie stays healthy. Come see Ellie De La Cruz.
I think I was Cincinnati Reds, fun but flawed.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be a fun team. They're especially in that ballpark. They're going to hit a bunch of dingers. They're going to steal bases. Like, it's going to be, if you're a Reds fan, you're going to have fun at the ballpark. You just won't see. There are going to be a lot of games where you're going to walk away saying, "Damn, we could have won that. Damn, we had that." Because just like the Pirates, they're starting pitching not great. Last year it was 28th in ERA, 26th in WHIP, 29th in home runs per nine. Well, that unfortunately, the ballpark, it gives home runs to your team, and it also gives them to the visiting team as well. Especially when you have a standard pitching staff. That Frankie Montas 16 man, god dang. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, where did that? I mean, that just came out of nowhere, it seems like.
Like, there were still good options on the board that you could have paid around that level to, you know, to play for you. You paid other, like, the pitchers we'll talk about in a little bit, the ones that went to St. Louis, you could have gave them, you know, $16 million a year to come pitch for you. And it'd have been a hell of a lot better than getting rid to a guy who only pitched one of third innings last year.
This is just madness that they would give this guy who's only, I mean, he's had two solid MLB seasons. 2019, mm-hmm. He went 9-2 in 16 starts with a 2.63 ERA. And in 2021, he went 13-9 in 187 innings and a 3.37 ERA, 32 starts. But was awful in 20, or might have been a bad luck pitcher in 2022 because he went 5-12. Mm-hmm. But he had a 4.05 ERA between two different teams, Oakland and I guess New maybe York. The Yankees.
Yeah. New York.
And then, yeah, didn't get a full season with the Yankees in 2023. So that's still an awful lot of money to give one guy who is coming off injury and hasn't been consistent.
And it's going to be pitching in Great American Ballpark.
Yeah.
Like I said, I like this team. I think they're going to fuck around and lose a lot of games that they shouldn't. But the talent is there. Like, you can see the climb.
If everyone's healthy by the end of the year and Ellie De La Cruz is taking that next step, has taken that, you know, that next step in his development,
mm-hmm.
I can see this team at the end of the season being a spoiler team for mm-hmm. a bunch of different teams. Having fun, enjoying knocking teams out of the playoff race, winning close games that, you know, could make a difference in a team's fortune.
You know what team they're going to be? They're going to be that team that gets hot like the last 6 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's going to be like, oh, look out for the Reds going into 2025.
Yep.
Like, I can hear it and see it right now. That's the team that they're going to be.
Seattle was that team a few years ago before mm-hmm. they actually made the play, and then they did make the playoffs. That's exactly what I was thinking. A Seattle type kind of spoiler team.
I think they're going to be a team where next year we're talking about them being, you know, a contender for the division.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the number for the Reds, over under 78.
Over under 78? Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I'll say over, and I'll say it's 79.
Oh, wow. I'm saying that because I picked over as well. I thought that was going to be our first disagreement. Yeah, like a spunky team. Like, I think
If
they'll.
go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think they missed the wild card by like a game or two. And then, during the offseason, it's like, oh man, they were so hot to end the season. If only they could have started off better. Look out for them as a contender for the NL Central going into 2025. Like, I think that's how it plays out for them.
Yeah, man, I don't know if anybody is gonna contend for a wild card spot this year in the Central. But I think, yeah, I mean, I think they'll be a spoiler late in the season, but I don't know if they'll quite be on the cusp of a wild card spot. And then, if Hunter Green can take that next step as well. If him and Cruz both take those next steps as, the offensive leader, the pitching leader, the ace of the staff, 2025, yeah, I mean, could be interesting. It could be interesting to see.
I'm with you.
And look, you've mentioned it a couple of times, and it's in my head now. So I think if you're taking a $16 million 1 year shot on a guy like Frankie Montas, I mean, that's a lot of money to give one guy, especially a guy who's coming off injury.
Are you gonna be mad when I tell you he has a mutual option for $20 million for 2025?
So clearly they see something there. So there's got to be something that they're expecting. And I think if him and Green are your one, wind up being your 1-2, that'll get them just over that 78 win projection into like 79, I would say, is the highest.
Yeah, I can see it. All right, moving on to our next team and the team that has done the most this off season, the Milwaukee Brewers. Last year, they finished 92-70, won the NL Central, lost to the Arizona Diamondbacks in the wild card round. And they got swept, lost 2-0 too.
Boy, have they been busy this offseason.
Yes. Let's start with the losses first. Traded starting pitcher Corbin Burns to Baltimore. They received pitcher DL Hall and infielder Joey Ortiz. They lost catcher Victor Caratini to the Astros. Also, non-tendered starting pitching Brandon Woodruff. He had a shoulder injury during the late portion of last year. And he's going to miss either a majority of 2024 or all of it. God damn. So they had a three-headed monster between Woodruff, Burns, and Freddie Peralta last year. And now coming into this year, Freddie stands alone.
He's looking around. Hey, where'd everybody go?
What do you think about the trade? As on not on Baltimore side, because we'll get to that when we talk about Baltimore. As far as the Brewers are concerned, what do you think of the trade?
I mean, it was just a matter of time. I mean, there was bad blood ever since he won the Cy Young and still lost in arbitration. Yeah, and I don't know much about what they got in return, but at this point, it's better than losing him out on, or losing him to free agency. So yeah, I mean, you had to make that move, get something out of it. And let's see, DL Hall is projected to be in their starting rotation at the bottom of the rotation. The youngest guy in the rotation at 25. And then who else did they receive?
Joey Ortiz.
Ortiz. Okay. And he's projected to be their starting third baseman. and he's another young guy, 25. So we'll see. I don't know. I don't know much about them. If they were, you know, you hope that they, you know, Milwaukee didn't just accept the first two guys that was offered to them, that maybe they did some homework and looked into these guys and looked into their potentials. If that's not the case, that's really bad management on Milwaukee's part. But I think if they were good enough to for if they were good enough for Milwaukee to accept in a trade for someone like Corbin Burns, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they, you know, develop and what their careers look like with, you know, actual with the time to actually play, because it's getting crowded in Baltimore. Like you said, we'll talk about that later. But, you know, finding playing time, I imagine, is going to be tough all over the diamond for that team.
So right now I'm looking at D.O. Hall's like prospect grades. It's got a 70 fastball, which for those of you who don't know it, the prospect grades is on an 80-30 scale. Like 30 is just terrible. 80 is the elite of the elite. So saying he has a 70 fastball means he's got a damn good fastball. Slider, yeah. Curveball, change, all around 55 to 60. So they're good to. Okay to good. The problem is command. His command right now is a 30. It looks like what they're projected, like a 40 command, which would make it like not great. Which sounds like guy like he has a big fastball and he knows how to throw it, has no fucking idea how the controller or where it's going. Wait, I'm looking at his stats from the minor league. Like he has a couple of years where he's double digits K per nine, which is good. Ball walks per nine around the 4 or 5 range, not good. He came up last year as a reliever for the Orioles, pitched in 18 games, 19 and a third innings. Like the fastball was, well, the strikeouts were there, 10 per nine. The walks weren't, they were okay. He wasn't a big walk machine, but it's only 19 innings. It's not a full picture of who he is or who he could be, you know.
Right.
So if I'm the Brewers, get that guy in, he's going to start. But we're going to throw him out as a starter because that's what we hope he can like. That's his potential to be the guy, a starter with a good fastball. He grows in the command. Maybe the command can become 50. Maybe he can be an average command pitcher. And you hope he's just out there giving you 30 starts a year. If not, you have to stick him in the bullpen. Maybe he becomes a higher leverage guy, closer. Like that's the worst. Well, that's the worst case scenario for the Brewers concerned. The actual worst case scenario is that he's just trash and they have to send him down to AAA yeah. and release him in a couple of years. So hopefully he's going to get his lumps this year. Hopefully he's like a number three, number four starter going forward. And then Jory Ortiz, look at him like he's a good hitter as far as average is concerned. The last 2 years in the minors, he's hit he's hit 321 and 346. No pop. You'll be lucky if he gets 9 home runs in the major leagues. But he also grades out as 70 on defense. So you're going to get a guy who has a good glove, good arm. Hopefully he'll be able to hit somewhere between 275 to 280 in league, but it's going to be empty because you're not going to get a bunch of home runs or double any kind of power numbers with him. Ooh, let me check his on base percentage. Well, the most part in the minors is about. Oh man, it kind of jumps. I wonder where he was playing in the minors, because that would make a factor in which parks.
I think he was playing second base.
No, I mean the parks.
Oh, the parks.
Because I don't know, because you play over in like the PLC, the California, in the California, like some of the parks over there, it's like playing on the moon. Your power might be artificially boosted. But it looks like his on base percentage in the minors was somewhere between 40 to 50 points higher, which is something you want to see. Last year, he got a cup of coffee, played in 15 games, 212 average, not really worrying too much about that. No walks. Man said, no walks. I'm swinging. 26% strikeout percentage, you know, it's fine. But he'll be up. I think Milwaukee, the Fangraphs, they have him, what, a second or third? Third. So you throw, you know, two youngish guys out there, see what they got. Hopefully they become part of your rotation and starting lineup for the next 6, 7, 8 years. But man, giving up on Corbin Burns like that, it's going to hurt. Especially when your rotation now consists of Freddy Peralta, Wade Miley, who they signed in all season, Jacob Junis, or that Jonas? Colin Rea. Junis, okay. And then DL Hall. Any of those guys have ERA under 4 last year? Oh, yeah, a couple of them did. Yeah, everyone did, but Rhea. But like Dia Hall only pitched 19 innings last year. Jacob Junis only pitched 86. And Freddy Peralta got injured towards the end of the year last year. Did he not? I think he missed the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah,
rotation is better than the last two teams we looked at. I'll tell you that one.
There's finally seeing some threes in these ERA numbers projections. Mm-hmm. I think the wise projection would be that they are not going to win 92 games like they did last year.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, let me get to the positives of the offseason, what they've gained. So they re-signed first baseman /DH Carlos Santana, 1 year, $5.25 million. Signed Gary Sanchez, catcher, 1 year, $7 million. Signed first baseman Reese Hoskins, 2 years, $34 million. 2025 is a player option. And there's also a 2026 mutual option. Just spoke of Wade Miley, starting pitcher, signed him to a 1 year, $8.5 million year. They have an option for 2025. And they signed their center fielder, Jackson Churio, to an 8 year, $82 million extension. It's got a couple of $25 million club options for 2032 and 2033. He's the Brewers' number one prospect, and overall, he's MLB's number three prospect.
What position does he play?
Center field.
Mm-hmm. Also, Santana, I believe, signed. He left Milwaukee.
He did?
Yeah, I believe he signed in Minnesota.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I said he was still on the team. So, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Because I don't see him in their lineup for their projected opening day roster. I mean, when healthy, Gary Sanchez can hit upwards of 30 home runs as a catcher. But he is 31 years old. I don't know if that's going to happen these days. That's a big ballpark they play in as well. Feels like a big ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Yelich is already 32. I mean, what does he have left? That remains to be seen. This guy was a former MVP at one point.
Boy, that power and is just gone now.
Man, it dropped out of nowhere It's one of the biggest shocks. Biggest shocking, regressions I've seen from a player in a very long time. Rhys Hoskins, look, I mean, the guy hit 30 home runs in 2022.
Yeah. Missed all
He
of last year with a torn ACL.
ACL, okay.
Yeah, he blew out his ACL in spring training last year. That's why Bryce Harper went to first and
Worked out for
basically
them. Yeah.
took that man's job.
All right. Look, he's still got power in his bat, and he's only 30. The rest of the rest of the guys in this lineup are all pretty young. So, if they stay together and continue to develop together, they could be interesting again, like they were this past season. But at this point,
Do you remember Christian Yelich being on the Miami Marlins?
yeah, wasn't that where he was the MVP candidate?
His first 5 years he played in Miami. Why do I not
Yeah.
remember this? Like I when I picture Yelich in my head, I picture him in a Brewers uniform.
And then they traded him to Milwaukee, which was another just bonkers event.
Oh, that might have been my Miami being broke. Who knows? Because that was after his 5th year, so he's as arbitration slash almost free agency. Yeah. That's them being the monopoly man with the pockets inside out saying we ain't got it. Christian Yelich signed that long term deal, 9 years, $215 million. Still got it. After this year, still another 4 years on there. At 26 million. That's a lot of money. I looking to see Christian Yelich lead off guy. Like, if I put the over under on Yelich home runs, let's say 17 and a half, you're going over or under.
Let's see, what did he
He
do
hit
last year?
19 last year.
I think he's still good for 19. So I would say over. I don't think he's hitting 30, plus like he did when he was in Miami or his first year in Milwaukee. I think it was his first year in Milwaukee. Now, I think those days are past. I think those days are gone, but yeah, I think he's still good for, over 17 and a half.
Yeah, 36. His first year in Milwaukee was 2018. 44 in 2019. 2020 hit 12. Of course, that's COVID. 2021, 9. 2020, 14. And last year, 19.
Just those big number years are, I think they're past, but he still can be serve he can still be serviceable at the top of the order.
He had a 370 on base percentage last year. Yep, that'll work. That will
Yeah.
play. I think one thing I'm realizing as we go through these teams is like starting pitching is at a premium. And it is because so many teams do not have it. Like, so many teams just full of three, four type starters. Like, every team may have their number one, that quote unquote ace, but there are not that many pure aces in the game right now. Oh, I forgot to bring this up when I was talking about Jackson Chourio. More teams need to do this where they go to their top prospects and just give them a contract extension like that. Like, if you're paying this guy 8 million, no, I'm sorry, you're paying him over 19 years, you give him $8 to $10 million to get him up. That's a win for both of you. Even if he sucks and you have to release him, $10 million to a team is nothing. That's just operating costs. It's better to pay him now than that to go through the arbitration stage and you're just pissing this guy off because you're offering him much less than he wants. And then, you know, he still wins arbitration. So instead of you had this long-term contract where you're only paying him like $10 million a year, he goes through arbitration, gets $15 million. He's pissed at you because you fought him tooth and nail to not give it to him. More teams should try to do this. And we know they don't, because if these teams were trying to give these young players these contracts and they weren't talking about them, we would know, because they would leak out to their, you know, these media members, oh, this player doesn't want to play ball, you know, he's too greedy, blah blah blah. Because they do,
Right.
you know, the owners do this all the time, the front offices, where they try to paint the players as greedy while their owners try to save every penny and dime they find. This thought. But yeah, I'm glad that Churio got this life-changing money. And if he's really good, like, even with those two club options, he'll hit free agency again when he's 30. No, he'll have enough. He can have another payday coming up. Way, way down the line.
Yeah, just save everyone the trouble, man. Save yourself the grief, the bad PR when things, you know, when those arbitration deals are, you know, having to be settled and things like that. And it's, you know, it's worth it to have these, to, you know, keep these guys around.
What's your 2024 slogan for the East Milwaukee Brewers?
The Brewers 2024. Milwaukee Brewers 2024. Oh, man.
Can't think of what, huh?
Milwaukee Brewers 2024. We'll be back in 2025.
I'll take Milwaukee Brewers. We might roll that seven this year. Like, everything may come up lucky this year. If Rhys Hoskin hits like he's hit in the past, Christian Yelich stays healthy. Trino is the guy that we believe he is. Willie Ames, like Wilson Contreras, like, they got guys in the lineup. And maybe DL Hall is a rookie of year contender, you know? He puts all together. Fred Peralta is still the ace. Wade Miley reaches back. Damn, he's 37. I say that as I am 37. Wade Miley reaches back into the time machine and pitches excellent from, like, a bunch of, like, we're at the craps table, baby. We're gonna hit that seven. Come hook or by crook. Go to their under over for these Milwaukee Brewers, 79 wins.
Ooh, wow, that's a big drop. That might be the biggest drop out of all the teams from last year.
No, it might be, it might not.
I'll still say over. Man, I think we're looking at I'll say 83 wins.
All right. I'm going under.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. First disagreement. Yes.
Yeah.
Drama. Sorry, a question for you. Whose lineup would you rather have, the Reds or the Brewers?
I would say the Brewers right now.
Okay. I think I would rather take the Reds. That's how I'm leaning right now. And the pitching staff. Which pitching staff would you rather have?
Yeesh. That's a
Tie?
tough one. Ties are for Father's Day.
All
So
right.
we're going with, man, I still think I would take the Brewers.
Go back to the Reds and double check everything. You might be right. I don't know. I think the thing that's pushing me towards the Reds is just it's a bunch of young guys and they might just like they're too dumb. They may not know any better. Like they just might all of them catch on fire, have the year of their careers, you know? It's just that's how I feel about the I just feel more confident in the Reds than I do in the Brewers.
So they might be 2023's version of the Brewers.
Mate.
Who, I mean, man, they won 92 games last year, and it's
Oh,
just
I'm
like,
definitely not.
how did this team win 92 games last year?
I'm definitely not saying the Reds are going to, shove the 92 wins in a division. I say I just feel more comfortable. This is crazy to say. I feel more comfortable with the Reds and the Brewers right now.
Look, another thing that the Brewers have going against them that, I think could help, prove me wrong or prove my prediction to be really bad is the fact that didn't they lose their manager?
Yes.
Didn't Craig Council just leave and go to Chicago?
Yes. Left in the thick of night and got a bag in Chicago.
As a the manager, they won 92 games with last year. They won the division last year,
So it might just be too many losses for them to overcome.
That could be the biggest one at this point. I think losing a guy like him who has kept the team, contending at least for the division for the past few years, to just suddenly, up and go. That might be too much for this team to overcome.
Speaking of the Chicago Cubs, they're up next.
Ah, Chicago Cubs.
Last year, the Cubbies finished 83 and 79, missed the playoffs at one of their better seasons in a couple of years. I tell you, the over-under on this team's going to be difficult because there's still a chance they could bring Cody Bellinger. In fact, I have in my notes might lose Cody Bellinger? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Let's go over what they've done all season so far. We just spoke about him. They lost their first baseman slash first baseman, Jameer Candelario. Starting pitcher Marcus Stroman signed with the Yankees. We don't know what's going on with Cody Bellinger. If he happens to re-sign with the Cubs after this podcast comes out, we'll talk about and even update our over-under if that happens. And that's it for the losses, for the big losses. And what they signed former Astros relief pitcher Hector Neris to a one-year, $9 million contract. It has a club option for 2025. Remember when the crazy rumors were coming out? He was asking for like 3 years, $45 million from the Yankees. I was like, what the fuck? I mean, I would like $45 million from a baseball team, but that was insane. And Cubs also signed starting pitcher Shota Iganaga. I cannot.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. Out of Japan, 4 years, $53 million. This contract is crazy. The first 2 years of the contract are guaranteed. He has $15 million player options for both 2026 and 2027. And then there's a $17 million club option for 2028. So this contract could be 2 years. It could be three. It could be five. It all depends on how well he pitches. The Chicago Cubs. What is their payroll looking like right now? I don't think it's like crazy high. $208 million. I was dead wrong.
Wow, where's all that money going?
I will tell you. Dansby Swanson makes $26 million. Ian Happ, $21 million. Seiya Suzuki, $21 million. Jameson Taillon, $18 million. Kyle Hendricks, $16 million. And Shota makes, he'll make $9.5 million. Nico Hoerner makes $11 million.
Good God.
Huh? No, they were just handing out money like it was free. Let's go and look at this team. Man, this team, it'd be so much different if they signed Cody Bellinger.
Can you believe we're saying that?
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have, we wouldn't have been saying that 2 years ago.
No.
But after what he did last year, I mean, I think it's very true.
Now, after looking at the Cubs payroll, I understand why they're trying to, well, basically dick around with his contract. If they give him a contract where he gets $25 million a year, that would put them over the luxury, the first luxury tax threshold. Because they'll be at what? $25 million. They'll be under. I'm sorry. That'll put him at 233, and the first one is 237. But if he's asking for like $30 million a year, and it puts them above that threshold, they're paying the luxury tax. Like, do you want to be paying a luxury tax for a team that you're not even sure can win the division? I wouldn't.
No, of course not.
Like, I have no problem like doing what the Astros are doing or the Braves or anything or the Dodgers. You pay the money for a team that you think could win the World Series. But if I'm not even sure I'm going to make it to the playoffs, I would have second thoughts on whether or not I want to, you know, break that threshold. Let's see, looking at the team as currently constructed, like they have some good players, but I hate to say this as someone who wants players and everyone in labor to get as much money as they can. Feels like a lot of these guys are overpaid.
This is the first team that we've mentioned that's paying over $150 million. They're over here paying $200 million on salary. There's definitely some overpaying here. Swanson is definitely a guy that you had to pay top dollar for, and he's earned it. But after that, it's like I don't see a whole lot of top dollar guys beyond him.
Yeah, Ian Happ is a good piece, but do you want to be paying him $21 million a year? I would say no.
I would say no as well.
Suzuki, he's making another guy making $21 million. Hey, what was his stats last year? Let me check. 285, 357 on base percentage. Good, good, good. 20 home runs. So you that's a good player. Again, that's a lot. They're paying a lot of money for people who are just good, not great. Let's go over to the starting pitching. Justin Steele, who was a Cy Young contender last year. Jameson Taillon. I knew when they signed that contract he was going to be a problem for him, and damn it if he wasn't. 154 innings last year. ERA of 4.84. Shota's coming in from Japan. We'll see what he looks like. Switching to the MLB model where the ball is bigger and also you're pitching 5 days, every 5 days instead of every six. Kyle Hendricks. It looks like they're also going to give Jordan Weeks. He'll be starting. He's their fourth best prospect at an ERA over four, but he only pitched 34 and two-thirds innings last year. So he's a few question marks, but seeing between Taillon, Shota, and Jordan Weeks.
But Wicks is, he's where he should be
Yeah.
for a young guy, as young as he is, not even 25 years old, highly ranked in the organization, a chance to possibly make the playoffs with this team, starting out as your, at the bottom of the rotation, the back end of the rotation, it's your number five guy with, some guys that can eat some innings up ahead of you. That's a good spot for Wicks.
Yeah. And we
Kyle
haven't.
Hendricks is back for another season with another team.
Like,
Feel like he's
I'm
been
back.
all over the place.
I'm back, baby. And we haven't talked about the bullpen too much. I think just because it's hard to talk about these guys, because bullpen is so erratic, unless it's like the best of the best. And even then, you only have a couple of years. But no, Hector Neris leaving the Astros, going over to the Cubs. Last year, ERA of 1.71.
Are you looking at his projections for 2024?
No, I will switch over right now. Hold on. Does that say four?
It says four.
My brother in
What happened?
Christ. Well, I know the Astros were concerned about his dipping velocity last year compared to 2022, and there are a lot of like underlying factors to say he got really lucky last year, because like I said, his ERA was 1.71. I think his FIP and everything going into last year. Let me get the right stats for you guys. Yeah, like his xERAs, FIP, xFIP, all those were like high threes, low four. So like, there was a lot to say he was getting really lucky last year. And eventually, you fall back to the average. He pitched amazingly last year. Like, there's a chance it's not gonna, like, he's not gonna have ERA under two again. Like, he's not that guy. He's a good pitcher. He's not, the elite of the elite.
Sure, but to go to a four, up all the way up to a four, it just seems excessive.
Yeah, I'll tell you, his ERA should have been somewhere around 3, 3.5, 3.5 last year. Like, once you start with that, like, that's what his ERA was supposed to be. Going up to a four, not that crazy.
Yeah. I guess it was, better to cut ties with them while we can, before you overpay for them.
Yeah, we already have one relief pitcher we've overpaid for. We don't need another one.
Yeah.
Back to the Cubs. It's a good, not great team, which could be enough to win this division. But I feel like any team that wins this division, it's just going to They're going to be in the same place that Milwaukee was last year. They're just going to get knocked out in the wild card, or maybe they'll get lucky and get knocked out in the NLDS. Like, no team in the Central is going to make that run to the World Series.
No, you took the words right out of my mouth that they are definitely good enough to potentially win the division. And then after that, it's like that's about as far as they're going to go.
Yeah. So what's your tagline for these Cubbies?
Chicago Cubs 2024. Probably say we're getting there.
We're getting
I don't
there.
know.
I think my tagline for the Cubs this year would be too expensive to be great.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
I hate to be Captain Capitalist over here, but man, you're paying a lot for not that much. Or I say, you're paying great prices for good production. Maybe that's it. Great prices, good production. I'll change. That's my tagline for the Cubs.
That works too. That fits.
Right, so let me go over here. So their under over is 81 wins.
Ooh. I'm gonna say over, because I think somebody's got to win this goddamn division.
Brother,
And
it's like you read my mind.
they might be just good enough to win the division. And it'll definitely take at least 84 games to do it.
Yeah, I talked all that talk about the Cubs just to pick the over as well. Because, like you said, somebody's got to win this motherfucker. That's the tagline for both Centrals, AL and NL. Somebody's got to win it. Those are the rules. All right, time to move on to the last team in the division, the St. Louis Cardinals. Make sure I bring up their payroll real quick. All right. So let's see what did the Cardinals do last year. Last year, the Cardinals' devil magic finally failed.
Right.
Finished the year 71-91, missed the playoffs altogether. They were the worst team in the Central. First time in a long time that's happened.
Yeah, what happened there?
Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You know, we're doing an autopsy on the Cardinals. Well, let me look.
I mean, they still had Goldschmidt. They still had Arenado.
Their pitching was bad. Like their starting pitcher, 26th in ERA, 27th in WHIP, 29th in Ks per nine, 29th in hits per nine. So they weren't striking out people. They were giving up a bunch of hits and giving up a bunch of runs.
Which is crazy because that never happens with this team, with this organization. Like they have been, as excellent can be most years than not.
I want you to Google and see what Adam Wainwright's ERA was last year.
Bueno?
Yeah.
I'll take a guess.
All right, take a guess.
This is ERA 5.12.
That your final guess?
Yes.
All right, I'm looking it up right now because I believe I know where it is off the top of my head, but I want to double check to make sure. You were too generous. His ERA last year was
Oh, wow. Yeah.
7.40.
Man. Double his ERA from the year before.
Yes. It's
disgusting.
okay. Yeah. I just remember him trying to get that 200 win and they kept putting him out there. It was like, he has no business pitching. Why are you guys doing this?
They were supposed to let him and Pujols and Yadi go out all in the same game, and this guy had to come back.
See, they had 10 pitchers who started at least 8 games.
My Lord.
Only two of them had an ERA under 4. Steven Matz and Jordan Montgomery. Neither one of them are on the team anymore, I believe. Where is Matz at?
Matt's
Oh,
is he
no,
should be
Matz
number
is still
five.
there. Yeah, he's never there. I'm sorry. So that's a problem when you have that many starting pitchers and they are not good.
Man, this is an old rotation.
You say that as if it didn't get older. Let me go over the Cardinals
Actually, it
offseason
got
real quick.
younger
No, it did not.
because Wainwright was like 40.
They still had younger guys and they replaced them with older guys. Let's see.
Okay.
Wainwright retired. They signed Sonny Gray to a 3-year, $75 million contract. Also, two more starting pitchers, Kyle Gibson, 1 year, $13 million. Lance Lynn, 1 year, $11 million. Brother, go look at their ages.
Oh, yeah. I see him.
Going into the year, Sonny Gray, 34. Mike Michalos, 35. Kyle Gibson, 36. Lance Lynn, 36. Steven Matz, 32. Matz is the young guy of the rotation.
As long as he's been around, he has never been like, wow, this is a guy, like, this is a guy that everybody should be going after.
Yeah.
He was like the lesser of the three-headed monster that was supposed to be Noah Syndergaard and
Matt
who was
Harvey.
the Matt Harvey. Four-headed monster, I guess, because also who was the other guy that signed with Texas?
Oh, shh. Did you sign with Texas this year or what?
Last year.
Last year? Oh, that's a very good question. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
He was supposed to be their big eight.
You're asking questions I don't know. Now I have to look this up because it will bug me because I can picture his face in my head.
Jacob deGrom.
There you go.
There it is.
How crazy. Things always go right for the New York Mets. Hey, like we already discussed, the pitching for the Cardinals last year was atrocious. So they go out and immediately sign three guys to
We're
shore up
past their
that.
prime. I mean, let's
It's
call it like it is. Calls
thanks.
it as we seize it.
Sonny Gray had a good year last year, which was unexpected. But he's the, let's see, he had ERA of 2.79. Steven Matz, the ERA, under 4, 3.86. Everyone else in that starting rotation I'm looking at right now, ERA above 4. Michalos, Gibson, and Lynn.
Yeah. Lynn finally, Father Time's really catching up to him because he was good 2 seasons ago, I believe, and then he got hurt, and then he just has not recovered since.
Yeah, even these projections don't look that great. Four pitchers, ERA over 4. Matt's like hovering around 4. What do you think's more likely to happen? Sonny Gray pitches at the level he pitched at last year, and Gibson and Lynn rise up to meet him, or Gibson and Lynn stink and Stunny Gray falls down to their level.
Ooh,
it's
that
gotta
is
be
tough.
it's gotta be the latter, right? Like,
yeah
Sonny Gray falls down. How many times have we seen guys go out here have these excellent contract years, and then once they sign the contract, they fall back to their regular level?
And they gave him a lot of money in his year 34 season, which is crazy. The most money he's ever made.
Wow, they deferred a lot of it.
Oh my God.
So his AAV is like basically 25 a year, but they're paying him $10 million this year, $25 million next year, and in 2026, $35 million.
Jeez.
I would rather do that the opposite way, pay him 35 this year and let it go down right. Like the Altuve contract.
Yeah.
Let me scroll down, see. So the Cardinals, as far as their roster, their payroll, $213 million. They're paying, let's see, Nolan Arenado, $35 million. Paul Goldschmidt, $26 million. Wilson Contreras, $18 million. Damn, Mike Mikolas makes 17. Whew. Good. You can get it.
He came on a few years ago as a pretty good pitcher, but then I didn't realize he was already 35.
Yeah, because he pitched overseas, didn't he? I think he pitched in Japan for a little bit.
2022, he had a 3.29 ERA, 202 innings. Strikeouts were low. But the walks were low too for 202 innings. But the ERA was solid. And I'm pretty sure he had a decent amount of wins. It doesn't say, but then 2023, yeah, he still pitched a lot of innings. The guy's an innings eater.
Yeah.
But he just gave up a buttload of runs this year, this past season.
Yeah, he was gone from 2015 to 2017. Yeah, I got that. Yay, innings eater. If you have an ERA above four, how valuable are you really? Like, thank you for allowing us to keep our bullpen guys from going out there and getting shelled, but you're not that great. I'm looking at this Cardinals team like, you went out here and did all of this signing to fix your rotation. I'm not sure it's that much better than what you had last year.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have Adam Wainwright out here getting shelled to the tune of eight runs a game. So congratulations on that. But, man, Sonny Gray, Gibson, Lynn, I'm not feeling heavy confidence in those guys. And then you look at the starting lineup, I believe, and Nolan Arenado, he's still a good, great third baseman. But, man, I got questions about Paul Goldschmidt. He's 36, playing at a high level for a long, long time. What did his stats look like last year? 268, 363 on base percentage, 25 home runs. So, I think those, you know, elite 300-plus batting average days are over with for Mr. Goldschmidt.
Yeah, the contending for a batting title was, I think that's, those days are gone. Oh no, he never really contended for a batting title. Except maybe 2015. But I mean, shit, that's 10 years ago, basically. It's a long time ago at this point.
And he was just MVP in 2022, wasn't he?
Yeah. 317, 35 homers, 106 RBI, 115 RBI, excuse me.
This is his walk year two.
Oh, well, he might play himself into one more good contract.
Play well enough, like maybe I can trick someone to give me 2 years with an option.
Yeah.
Wilson Contreras, like his reputation has always been like he's great with the bat, iffy with the glove. And I gotta say, I think he deserves a little bit of the blame for the pitcher's ERA and how everything exploded.
Sure. I mean, Wainwright wasn't giving up seven runs when Yadier Molina was catching.
I'd be like, hey, man, if I'm Contreras, like, hey, he's 40 years old throwing a curveball that don't curve. Trying to make it work with 89-mile-an-hour fastballs. I can't be held responsible for that. Like, all the other starting pitchers, sure, you can put that on me, but that boy sucks. He's already at seven. There's no – you could bring Wilson Fisk, you know, from his prime, he ain't helping him.
Wilson Fisk, the kingpin?
No shit. Who am I thinking of? Carlton Fisk. My bad.
Carlton Fisk. It's like, wait, what? I was going with it, but I'm like, wait.
You definitely did. I would let that ride too.
It's like this. Wait a second.
My bad.
What does the kingpin have to do with this?
Look, if the kingpin's back there, hey, first off, no pass balls. Not with that.
It's
body.
A large target. Yep.
And umpire, you try to argue balls and strikes with that man. Good luck. You'll end up in three separate orb drums fucking around with him.
Yeah. Which I really enjoyed Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk
mm-hmm.
in the Daredevil series. I haven't seen Echo. But anytime he's played Wilson Fisk, he's been awesome. And I've become a fan of his because of it. But man, that Wilson Fisk from the Spider-Man animated series, pretty badass too.
Yes, you can say whatever you want about the MCU. They get their casting directions every time. Mm-hmm. They're in a thousand.
Hey, look, I didn't mind Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, from the Daredevil movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's a big guy. I mean, he's a big guy. You can appreciate that. Oh. Just being that powerhouse. Playing a powerhouse character.
Mm-hmm.
And he was cool. He had the right tone for it, too.
Yeah. I got to watch Echo. And I said I need to watch that last season of Daredevil because I do not remember anything that happened on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to baseball. These Cardinals, how you...
They make it. They got you thinking about it, the MCU. Look, that lineup has potential to be a dangerous lineup.
Mm-hmm.
As long as Paul Goldschmidt can still hit, you know, until the wheels really fall off. I mean, he's still your best hitter on the team. And then second goes to Arenado.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lars Nootbaar. That's his real name. That's how you pronounce his name. I don't know.
You sound like me. So that's where I sounded out, baby.
Yeah. He came along last year, and you know, he's sitting in the middle of the lineup at number three. In the number three hole projected.
Man, that's your third hitter? I got questions, but if not him, who? You got Goldsmith the second and Arenado fourth. They don't really have – they need Wilson Contreras. I was going to say to be the guy they signed him, but he had a decent year last year. 264, mm-hmm. batting average, 358, 20 home runs, like six stolen bases. All right. I think we need to shrink the bases again. It's getting out of hand over here. I think that's in line with what his career –
Right.
Yeah. It's basically his career. 260. Like, that was even better because he's a career 257 hitter. Like, he did what he was supposed to do last year, you know, at the plate. Well, at the plate, not behind the plate. So I think even if Arenado and Contreras, you know, just have the years you normally have, and you have a bounce back year from Goldsmith, what's the rest of his lineup looking like?
Well, the rest of the lineup was decent in 2023. Their second baseman hit 27 home runs.
Yeah, but decent, Mike. It's going to get you enough to fight for this division. What's that going to mean when you get into the playoffs? And I know, we really should be just worried about the division because we're talking about divisions. But
yeah, I mean, because really, it doesn't really matter at this point. I mean, unless they go out and sign Cody Bellinger type to, you know, add to that lineup. Because with Goldschmidt, okay, look at it this way. Goldschmidt, Nootbaar, Arenado, and Contreras. I don't think any of the other lineups in the division, and just in the division, have four as good hitters as this lineup does.
Okay, I'll agree with that. Yeah,
I think that's good enough to win enough games to get you in playoff contention, get you the division, like contend for the division again, or at least keep you in enough games to get you there, because the pitching can't give up 5 runs game.
Oh, you sound confident in that.
Yeah.
You know, they can't give up 5 runs a game, and they're like, we'll show you, we'll give up 6.
But if they went and did something crazy, like go out and get a Cody Bellinger, then this is by far the best lineup in the division, head and shoulders above everybody else in the division, and they're already probably there anyways.
I think
but
it's
this
the
would
same
solidify
thing. It's the same thing with the Cubs. Like, they're already at $213 million as far as payroll. You bring in someone like Cody Bellinger and say he wants $25 million a year. Now you're at $238. You're over the first luxury tax. Where does that team get you? Congratulations, NL Central champion. Like, these owners do not want to pay that luxury tax. They don't have to. Like, we're going to have a talk with, about which teams are actually trying to win and which ones are trying to make money. And which teams are trying to, they'll win up to a, they'll spend money to try to win up to a point. I feel like the Cardinals are we're willing to try to win. We'll put money into this team, but 237, that is the cutoff, baby. We are not going over that luxury tax number. I think this team, they're going to be better than they were last year. Like, no way they lose 91 games with this team. It's a team full of adults.
Right. That's a great way to look at it.
So they'll know how to, quote, unquote, play the right way. So they're going to sneak out. Like how I said earlier, the Reds are talented but flawed, so they're going to fuck around and lose games they shouldn't. The Cardinals are going to do the opposite. That devil magic is going to be back. They're going to fuck around and win games they have no business winning. All right, you ready to go over-under?
Let's do it.
All right, so the over-under for the Cardinals, 85 wins.
I'll say over. Because I think that devil magic will come back. I think they'll win the division around 86 games.
I'm going over as well. I think they're going to be in a dogfight with the Cubs for this division. But I think, oh, should we just give our division winner right now?
Sure.
All right.
What do you got?
So the Pirates and Brewers are already eliminated from my list because I picked the under of both of them. I like the Reds, but not enough. Oh, so it comes down to the Cubs or the Cardinals. Question. Will your answer change if Cody Bellinger signs with the Cubs?
Probably not.
Okay. Man, I don't think so here. So I'm going with the Cardinals.
Okay.
What about you, my man?
Well,
Let's
for
go.
the sake of debate, I'm going with the Cubs.
Oh, yes.
So my pick wouldn't change, because if he signs with the Cubs, I've already gotten one. I was ready to pick the opposite team, the team opposite you, just for the sake of debate.
Embrace debate.
And they're close enough. Those two teams are close enough where I could see either one winning, and it wouldn't shock me if the Cubs won the division.
Okay. Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if St. Louis won, you know?
Agreed. Agreed. So we'll go through every division, pick the division winners, and then we get to the end, we'll pick the wild cards. I might feel a little zesty on the Cubs. Might put them there. I got my eye on them as a wild card team.
Let's add another prediction, perhaps. Not award winners, but best player to come out of the division.
All right, how do you want to define it, by like war?
Oh wait, yeah, I didn't think this through. Sure. I think that's the
Okay.
easiest metric to follow or to review.
Find some place to write this down. All right, I can do that. You know, hold off on that until the next podcast, because I'm gonna have to make an entire table for
Okay.
all our awards and stuff. I want everything to be somewhere where, you know, at the end of the year and stuff, be like, oh, I think I picked this, or I think I picked this. I have the file, so I just pull it up and be like,
Gotcha.
oh.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Easy for both of us. Right. So that's it for the NL Central. Let's go over what we picked. Pirates, their number was 73 wins. We both picked the under. The Reds, number was 78. We both went over. Brewers, 79 wins. I went over. No, I went under. You went over. The Cubs, 81 wins. We both went over, and you picked them as your division champs. Cardinals, 85 wins. Again, both went over, and I picked them as my division champs.
Yeah, and initially I said over for the Cubs, over 81, thinking that they would have to win slightly. They would win just over 81, but I also picked the Cardinals to go over 85. So,
Do you want to change the Cardinals to under?
no, for
No.
this pick, you know what? Yeah, I'll do Cardinals under at 84 and the Cubs over at, I'll have them winning around 84, 85, or about 85, 86.
All right. All right, I'm with that. I got that down. All right, so AL Central is a wrap. Next week, NL Central is a wrap. Next week, we will continue with the NL East. Ooh, there's one great team and one stinky team and three in the middle. That'd be fun.
Oh yeah.
All right, man. Anything you wanna say before we get up out of here?
Thanks for sticking with us through 250 episodes. Here's to another 250 or so, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We'll make it. We'll be all right. We'll definitely make it 300.
Yeah.
So thank you all for downloading, listening, sharing all these episodes, 250 of them. We appreciate it greatly. You can, wherever you get these episodes, just leave a review, 5 stars, because we have fragile egos. We want to be happy. Don't you want to make us happy? We make you happy with these podcasts, do we not?
Hopefully.
And we'll be back next week with the NL East. So until then, for Anthony, I'm DeQuincy. Laters.